Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Paul Bredel, Packers beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel is there. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm excellent, Sparky. Happy to be talking Packers with you.
I'm happy to have you on talking Packers. I mean, Devin Williams gets traded today, so we've been doing a lot of Devin Williams, trying to balance Packers and Brewers here throughout the show. We've got Keith McPherson coming up, radio host for The Fan in New York at 4 o'clock to talk more about that. But, Paul, let's talk about this. Jaire Alexander not playing. How big of a deal is that going up against the Seahawks team in Seattle Sunday night in the rain?
I mean, I think it's going to be huge. This is a very potent Seattle passing game. Jaxon Smith-Njigba from the slot is one of the most productive receivers in football this season. DK Metcalf has been the most targeted receiver on downfield passes this year. They also have Tyler Lockett as a third option. This is a passing game that can stress defenses at all levels of the field. And obviously having Jaire versus not having Jaire is a big difference. One, we know when healthy the caliber of player that Jaire can be, but his presence, just being on the football field, right, there's a trickle-down effect to the rest of that secondary, to the game plan that Jeff Hafley puts together because of the flexibility that Jaire Alexander has, that he provides. One, you have the confidence in him to go out and handle his responsibility. So in effect, there's a part of the field that defensively you're not necessarily as worried about, right? Because you know Jaire can handle his responsibility. That gives you more flexibility with Xavier McKinney or one of the other safeties, for example, to move them around, to provide, if Keyshawn Nixon was on the boundary, to provide him with some additional assistance. The Packers have been getting picked apart over the middle of field. Maybe if Jaire's out there, again, you have a little extra flexibility to play McKinney closer to a line of scrimmage to help out the linebacker position, whatever it may be. So, again, it's not just the caliber of player that Jaire is. It's not now that you just have to – you're going to have to rely on Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine to play a significant number of snaps, again, because Javon Bullard's out as well. But it's also just the overall flexibility you lose – as a play caller, as a game planner for Jeff Hafley. And again, this is a Seattle passing game where they can hurt you at all levels of the field.
Why am I not worried about it then? Why aren't I scared of Geno Smith and the Seahawks? I'm more concerned about the Seahawks running game in this deal because they've been getting significantly better here. It looks like Walker may play. Charbonnet just had the best game he's had all season long in his last game against the Cardinals. The offensive line for the Seahawks is playing much better. We had Curtis Crabtree on, who covers the Seahawks yesterday here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. He seems pumped up about their running game. Packers run defense much better, I feel like, than everybody thought it was going to be this year. But still always a concern because, well, as long as I'm alive, I'm always going to be concerned about Packers run defense, regardless of where they're ranked. To me, that is the biggest key in this game is don't allow them to get going on the ground.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge element. And to your point, this run defense is night and day different from the group that we've seen in recent years, and especially over these last 3 weeks. I mean, they've gone up against some of the best, most dynamic running backs, McCaffrey, Devin Achane, the 1-2 punch of Gibbs and Montgomery. And combined over those three games, those three running backs are averaging less than 3 yards per rush against this Packers run defense. And a really good run defense that's operating at a high level like the Packers are, that takes all 11 defenders, right? But it starts with the interior defensive line. And right now what we're seeing is Kenny Clark coming on. He talked about in the locker room how his toe and just being healthy is just helped him be in a better position. And he's leading that charge in the middle. Jason Rebrovich, the Packers defensive line coach, said there's no defensive lineman who's improved more over the last 6 weeks than TJ Slayton. The best way to wreck any play, especially a run play, is with a quick push up the middle. And the combination of Clark, Slayton, we're seeing Carl Brooks in there as well. They're doing that. They're playing at a high level. They're getting off blocks. They're generating push. The edge defenders are setting the edge, forcing the ball carrier back inside. Linebackers against the run playing at a high level, flowing sideline to sideline, filling gaps. And then you got the members of the secondary swarming. So it takes everyone, again, to have a really strong run defense. But it starts with Kenny Clark, who's coming on late in the season, as we often see from him. And with the Seahawks team, again, got to stop the run, because then that's going to help your secondary out, right? You put them in long down and distance situations, puts them behind the sticks, pass rush pins its ear back. Secondary has an advantage from a coverage standpoint. So got to find a way to limit the Seahawks run game. But this Packers run defense, to their credit, has been doing that.
And you get Edgerrin Cooper back, and you get Evan Williams back, it looks like, this week, which are huge additions for this Packers defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the addition of Cooper back into the lineup is going to be massive just because of the coverage ability that he brings. I alluded to it earlier. Miami and Detroit are picking apart the Packers over the middle of the field. And there's various reasons for that. It's not only on the line, a linebacker position. Screens have gotten this Packers defense. Jeff Hafley talked about on Thursday how there's always that game of cat and mouse between the offense and defensive side, and the defense trying to disguise where their zones are going to be, the offense trying to decipher it. And Jared Goff in particular did a really good job of picking out where those zones were going to be and picking apart the Packers defense. But getting Cooper back, his coverage ability is going to be massive. Just with the ground that he can cover, the responsibilities that you can put on this plate are obviously different than what you're going to ask of Isaiah McDuffie, who's been picked on. He's been targeted 23 times just in these last two games alone. So having Edgerrin Cooper in the mix is going to be big. And again, you look at the opponent, Geno Smith, the short to intermediate routes between the numbers are parts of the field that he targets heavily. Those running backs we were just talking about, they are very, very active in the Seattle passing game. I believe between Walker and Charbonnet, they have over 80 targets between them. So the linebackers are going to have to play a really, really critical role in, again, defending those running backs, but just in general, doing their best to take away that middle of the field. And again, when you have a player of Edgerrin Cooper's athleticism, his speed, the ground he can cover, that obviously helps. And then again, something else I alluded to watch, do the Packers play Xavier McKinney? Do they give him a little, some additional reps closer to the line of scrimmage to help take some of those routes away? Because like I said, the last two games, Miami and Detroit, very, very effective against Green Bay in that part of the field.
Talk with Paul Bredel, Packers beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. You talk about going over the middle. Or Dan Orlovsky brought this up the other day on Twitter. Packers have allowed 174 completions over the middle of the field. That's 30th out of 32 teams in the NFL, have given up 10 touchdowns in that same area. Only six teams have allowed more. So it's been a problem, obviously, for the Packers going forward. Now, having said all of that, let's continue on talking about this Packers team and Jordan Love, because there was a stat that I saw come out earlier that said Jordan Love has been one of the worst quarterbacks against the blitz this season. He ranks 30th out of 32 when blitzed with a grade of 63, 7 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Now, that was by that Duff Kleiman guy on Twitter. Then, a fan responded back with, Sean said, now let's do his last four games versus a blitz. 22 of 33, 344 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, with a passer rating of 131.4. How much of those numbers are from earlier in the year when he couldn't move?
Oh, I think a lot of them are. I mean, Jordan Love is playing at a very high level right now, and the injuries earlier in the season hampered his ability, as we know, to just how he navigated the pocket, right? It's not even about being able to, you know, escape the pocket and run for 15 yards. It's just about how he goes about moving around the pocket. That absurd throw we saw against the Lions to Christian Watson, he might not have the ability, you know, a couple months ago to make that again because of his limitations. And another important part of being healthy, Tom Clements, the quarterback's coach, has talked about this often. Your base, your feet, your legs, that's where your accuracy starts for a quarterback. And again, with the injuries Love was dealing with, I think that played into some of the inaccuracies that we saw from him as a passer as well. So since coming out of this bye week, appearing to be fully healthy, we've seen a much more refined, just a much more improved Jordan Love, his ability to move around the pocket, his accuracy, and he's playing at a really high level right now. Matt LaFleur has talked about this coming out of each game. And while, like I said, the wild throw to Christian Watson is what really catches your attention, it's the checkdowns too. I remember last year when Jordan Love got hot during the second half of the season. Again, Tom Clements referenced, it's not those downfield wild plays that, obviously those are great, that signal the level he's playing at. It's knowing when to take those opportunities, but when to take the checkdowns. Because when you're deciphering, you're making that distinction as the play's unfolding, that means you're operating at a high level. You're reading the defenses. You know exactly where your guys are supposed to be. It's more of a comprehensive approach to the quarterback position. So we're seeing all of that from Jordan Love right now. And again, playing at a very high level. Over these last four games, I think numbers-wise, is similar to kind of what we saw from him down the stretch last season.
Which is obviously a great thing. What about offensively? For this Packers football team, clearly it feels like the running game has gone to a different level with Josh Jacobs, with the departure of Aaron Jones, playing in the rain in Seattle against a run defense that hasn't been good all this year. But here in the last 4 or 5 weeks, according to Curtis Crabtree, who we had on yesterday, the run defense has gotten significantly better. Just like I said, it's very important for the Packers to stop the Seahawks on the ground. I think it's equally important that the Packers can get going on the ground to help their play action game.
Yeah, I think that's where success for the Packers are going to start in this game. Obviously, we saw what Jordan Love in the passing offense did in the second half of the last game. We just talked about his numbers out of the bye week, but I think that's where success starts. Because if we literally look at, you know, like you mentioned, Seattle's run defense trending in the right direction. But if we look at the strength of that Seattle defense, it's their pass rush. They're 11th in pressure rate this season. Their secondary is 8th in yards per pass attempt allowed, of a very aggressive, disguise-heavy secondary, very good at generating plays on the football, whether it's interceptions or pass deflections. So how do you mitigate that? It's a strong run game. You stay ahead of the sticks. You keep yourself out of those predictable passing situations where now the entire playbook's open to you. And Tucker Kraft talked about this after the Miami game. When Josh Jacobs is rolling, when success is happening on the ground, there's nothing that the Packers can't call from those advantageous down and distance situations. And now when you have a quarterback of Jordan Love's caliber, all the receiving threats that the Packers have, those elements are magnified because the defense is on its heels. They have to spread out. They have to defend both the run and the pass. But all that starts in the play action component that you mentioned as well. But all that starts with the success on the ground game. So I think that's where they're going to start early on in this game because, again, as we said, it opens up everything else. Now, having said that, if like in the Lions game where we saw them loading the box and basically saying, we're not going to let Josh Jacobs get going, if the Seahawks take that same approach, what I want to see from this Packers team is I want to see them pivot quicker to the passing game. It took that first half, and again, the offensive line play against Detroit didn't help things, but it took that first half for them to really get into that passing rhythm, even though Detroit was basically saying, hey, go throw the ball. We're not going to let you run it. So if Seattle takes a similar approach, I do want to see the Packers adjust and pivot more quickly in this game.
Who do you like in this game, Paul Brodel?
I like the Green Bay Packers. I think for the reasons mentioned, I think the ability to run the ball on the ground, and I think their run defense, which again, playing at a really good level right now, if you can control the line of scrimmage, I think you have a good chance in a lot of games to end up controlling the game. So I think that's what the Packers are going to be able to do, but I think it's going to be a close one.
There he is, Paul Brodel. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Brodel. He writes for ESPN Lacrosse. Paul, as always, you're the man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate it, Sparky.